Back here on WBAL with one of our favorite guests, John Manuel, the editor-in-chief of Baseball America, joins us. And John, also this year, when the big Baseball America prospect handbook comes out, you have the distinct honor to do the Orioles this year, their top 30 prospects.
It will be a first time for me, doing it, first time for everything. So I'm looking forward to Dylan Bundy getting healthy and ranking him number one, or Kevin Gausman, one or the other. I'm glad that Kevin, I don't think Kevin is exhausted as the rookie eligibility yet. So I need those guys to stick around and make my top 30 deeper.
Well, I would say for the Orioles farm system, it was somewhat of an uneven year. On the good, Kevin Gausman raced to Baltimore. Everyone saw the stuff as advertised. In fact, I would say better than advertised. And getting to know Kevin a little bit, he seems to, and I can go back through the years and listen, when you cover a lot of minor leaguers and major leaguers, you start to kind of figure out maybe those who have it or don't have it. And I can't tell you if Kevin Gausman will ever, you know, pitch 300 innings in the big leagues, but he seems to have a really good head on his shoulders, and he seems to have the physical ability and the mental capacity to be good.
Yeah, he has some charisma. He has some confidence. I guess the phrase we like to use is necessary arrogance.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has that. I do think the stuff was a little bit better than advertised this year. So, and now it's a matter of learning how to use that stuff. Most guys in the big leagues have stuff, and hitters have seen it before, and it's how you use it, how you sequence it, and, of course, how you command it. So, I think he's going to be better than Brian Mattis, but we all thought Brian Mattis was going to be a good big league starter.
That's true.
We all thought Jake Arrieta was going to be a good big league starter. He might still be. It just won't happen in Baltimore. But, you know, Chris Tillman did finally become that good big league starter. So this is why you have to have numbers. So I do like Gausman. I do like if the top guys hit for Baltimore, and they can continue this, you know, at the very least, they had two winning seasons in a row. That's certainly significant progress for the organization. But obviously, a little disappointment. They fell short of the playoffs this year. And the other disappointment out of that, I think, is that I won't say they emptied the farm system, but they did trade some prospects to try to make that playoff run again this year, and they kind of fell short. And so, that, you know, if Josh Hader hits with Houston, that's going to hurt. So if Nicky Delmonico does turn out to be an everyday regular, it's going to hurt. So they definitely sacrificed a little farm system depth to make that playoff push this year. And then it didn't, when you don't make it, it makes that hurt all the more.
That's a great point, especially Hader, who I know they did not want to give up. A local kid, left-handed, throwing really hard. He made the Sally League All-Star team this year in his first pro season. Really, what a great pick that was. But they get another year with Bud Norris, and he's not a one, you know, time guy. So that's important to remember. Delmonico, sad to see any young kid who was hitting with that much early power go.
Yeah, and I will say, maybe if it makes Orioles fans feel better, I did our Florida State League prospect list, and I didn't get any buzz on Delmonico after his trade to the Brewers organization. And, you know, I think that was a Hader, like you said, is a guy. Of the guys that gave up, that's really the guy. Because it's a power left-handed arm. You know, does he turn into, I don't know, Alan Embry? Is he really going to be a starter? You know, Alan Embry's I'm updating myself.
No, Alan Embry's good. Yeah, power. I like that one.
The power left-handed, when I think of power left-handed arms out of the bullpen, I think of Alan Embry. I guess I'm stuck in 10 years ago. But, you know, those kind of guys, maybe that's what he turns into. Maybe he does figure out starting. He still had a pretty high walk rate this year, but that's the guy that they traded this year that you kind of want to keep an eye on as an Orioles fan, and that's the one that might come back to bite you. But like you said, when you acquire a player with club control, not just a rental player, but a guy with it you control for more than a year, like a Bud Norris, you use it to pay more in prospects, and that's what they did. So, you know, Al J. Hose, I think, you know, we talked about him. Orioles fans knew what he was. You know, local kid, a D.C. kid, but you would have liked to have seen Al J. Hose, but you know, be a regular in Baltimore, but he probably is a second-division regular, and that's I think giving him up, you won't regret. You can find other LJ Hoses. It's hard to find power left-handed arms.
All right, let's talk about, I mean, obviously the entire prospect analysis of the Orioles this year, much like last year, if you were to tell me that Jonathan Scope would hit a home run this year in the big leagues, which he did in his first game, and Kevin Gausman would pitch meaningful September innings, I would tell you it probably would be a pretty successful year. Of course, you lose Dylan Bundy early. He does not pitch a single inning this year of meaningful baseball in the minor leagues. He loses a critical year of development. I have no doubt, John, with today's modern sports medicine, that Bundy's going to come back. He'll be healthy. He'll throw 98 again. But to be honest, he's on the clock, and that's the problem. He was a major year of maturation development.